Blog Talk Radio.
www.mylifecompass.com/LaLisaWilliams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach LaLisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the show today. Well, we have an interesting topic, exciting for those who are trapped in this condition. And yes, I'm calling it a condition. Well, we are here today to help you out of that condition. And before we get started, I want to say good morning, good morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Good morning, Miss Patricia. How's everything going out your way? Not quite sunny yet this morning, but I believe the sun is going to come out and peek its little head and brighten up our day, so we are expecting. Well, today is Take It Back Tuesdays, and today what we're going to take back is we're going to take back our faith in a very strong way. We're going to take back our faith, and we're going to do that through our topic today, which is overcoming doubt. We're going to get into overcoming doubt today, discussing what is doubt, how is it harmful to our lives, what is it stopping us from doing, what is it not allowing us to experience, how is it keeping us from experiencing the abundant life that we were promised, that we are expecting, that we want to have. What can be causing us anxiety and other issues that won't allow us to be happy and free and whole? Could it be doubt? Could doubt be our dirty little enemy? Well, I believe it is, and we're going to see in just a moment how doubt it could be affecting you in a negative way. And then we're going to give you some steps on how to overcome doubt. So I just want to say good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, today is Tuesday. Yesterday, Monday, we were talking and explaining more about our purpose and setting goals, and I was going over the ASAPE model, A-S-A-P-E. Now, we're going to be implementing that model around the country, putting it into action. I have some more students on Monday that I'm going to be talking to. I will be talking to some young people between the ages of 14 and 18 on this coming Monday. That's April the 25th at Seton Hall University. They are having a forum for girls between the age of 8 and 18. But I will be specifically speaking to those who are 14, between the ages of 14 and 18, which was my desire. I feel that God has really given me a word for the young people of that age versus the other age group, say the 8 to the 13. They will actually be with other presenters. So I'm going to be there at Seton Hall with this forum, and this will be my absolutely first forum at Seton Hall with this organization and with this age group. As you know, I did speak there a couple weeks back, but that was with college students. And this program is where the college students reach out to the community, and they have a school where they get these students from, bring them onto the campus, and they want to empower these young people so that they can finish high school, finish school, and then make the plan and transition to come right to college. And I know that there is a program that is similar for boys. It's for boys, and it's held once a year at Keene University. It's a very big program. And I know we used to take our boys from the College Brown program over to that, so I did know about that program. I did not know about Seton Hall's program, so I'm very excited to be asked to come there and to present to these young teenagers. Very excited, very much looking forward to that. After that, the next thing on the agenda, this ceremony is this month. Wow, I cannot believe it. So this month, next Thursday, is the ceremony for the Daughters of Deborah, and that is going to be on the 28th of April. That was a group of women, about 20 women. As a matter of fact, tonight I may go check on them to see how well they're doing, because I did the kickoff session with those ladies, and they met for 9 weeks, I believe it was, 9 weeks. They started meeting last month in March, and they are graduating on the 28th, and that will be held at Metropolitan Baptist Church in their dining hall. They have a beautiful hall there that they rent out to people, so that's what's going to be happening on the 28th. Wow, I did not realize that that had come upon us so very, very quickly. So lots of things are happening. And then on June the 11th, I will be speaking to another group of teens. So I'm getting ready and geared up to talk to these teens about what's important to them. But today we're going to talk about doubt, overcoming doubt. So good morning, good morning, good morning to those of you in the chat room. Good morning and welcome. For those of you who will listen to the archives later, good morning. Boy, this has really been a tremendous time. You know, the spring has sprung and everything is getting underway. There are a lot of people still living in a lot of uncertainty. There are people living in a lot of stress. With the economy, is you know, still we seem to be in a stronghold as it relates to the economy. People are still losing their jobs. I recently read that a number of police officers in the state of New Jersey and Patterson have lost their jobs, and this is just not good. So, but doubt and fear can come in, and doubt can set in. And so I think that this is really just a timely message to be bringing, especially at a time like this when there is so much uncertainty. I mean, now it's almost when you turn on your television and when you watch the news, you don't know what you might hear. Or when you go sign onto your computers and you see that there's news flashes all over the internet these days. And for those of you who are on Facebook, Twitter, and places like that, MySpace and what have you, the news people are there too, and they're constantly flashing news messages. And these are some other ways that can also, you know, build our doubt. But doubt can be very destructive. So let's just look at what is doubt. I mean, if we're going to overcome it, let's make sure we actually know what it is. Now, a basic definition from the dictionary of what is doubt. Well, doubt is a status between belief and unbelief. Okay, so when you doubt, you're saying, I don't believe it. I don't believe. You have unbelief. It involves, like we said, uncertainty. I'm not certain. And that's the way it is right now with this economy. A lot of people are very doubtful about things. They're not sure because of the economy. They hear news messages of how bad and how awful the economy is. Doubt is also a distrust, you know, a lack of sureness, not assured of various alleged facts and actions and motives and decisions. Doubt can cause anxiety. Yes, it can cause anxiety. And now, what is anxiety? Some people they're not quite sure. What is anxiety? Well, anxiety can be a desire to do something. You know, that's why we're told, be anxious for nothing. Don't be so desiring something that you don't even know if it's going to really happen or not. And because what happens if you get too anxious? It leads to worry and nervousness and uneasiness. And that's where you hear people say that people who have a lot of worry and anxious, they become sick. You become worried about things that you have absolutely no control over, because things that you have control over, well, just go and take control. You don't have to doubt and worry. If you have control, take control and do something about it. If you don't have control over something, and that's typically only about, you know, a portion of our lives we don't have control over. So why worry? Why be anxious? But the things that we can have control over, we should take immediate action. Take immediate action over the things that we have control over. The things that we don't have control over, don't sit and be anxious about it. Don't sit and be worried about it. Let it go. You have no control over it. It's a waste of time to sit and worry and be anxious or be doubtful about things for which you have no control. For the things, hear me good on this one, for the things that you have control, C-O-N-T-R-O-L, control. For the things for which you have control, take massive action, like do it yesterday, of everything for which you have control. It's under your control. The things that you do not have control over, for instance, you have no control over whether the sun will shine or not shine, for the most part. You have no control. However, you do have control over whether you will enjoy the sunshine or the cloudy day. That is, 100%. Whether you enjoy the sunshine or not, that is 100% in your control. But regardless of whether the sun shines or not, you have no control, you see. So you have to, first of all, learn in life how to take control of what you can do and let go of the things that are out of your control. Now, for some people, that's just, you know, life 101. But for some people, they didn't know that. So for some, you know, that is, that may have been a help right there. But yes, and thank you, Pat, for putting that in the chat room. Doubt can cause anxiety. It can cause you to feel uncertain. It can cause you to live with distrust, always distrusting yourself and others. It can cause you a sense of unbelief, a lack of sureness, not sure about anything, confusion. A feeling of nervousness. None of these feelings are good. So you want to overcome doubt. If you have doubt, now, you have a choice here. You have a choice. You can choose. Remember, you have control over what you think. So you can choose to feel. You can choose to be faithful. That's faith, F-U-L-L, full of faith. Or you could choose to be doubtful. That's doubt, F-U-L-L, full of doubt. That's your choice. You could be faithful. And faith, let me give you a couple of quotes about faith. It's a couple of quotes about faith. For those with faith, no explanation is necessary. For those without faith, no explanation is possible. And that was stated by Thomas Aquinas. And the concept there is, for those with faith, no explanation is necessary because your faith is the explanation. But for those without faith, no explanation is possible. When people don't have faith, when they are walking in doubt, there's almost nothing you can say to convince them of a particular decision or a particular action. So when you're walking in doubt, that is not a good place where you want to be, because now you're walking in an area where you're expecting the negative. And what you expect is what you will get. Okay? What you expect is what you will get. So if you're walking in the negative, you're walking in doubt, and you're expecting the negative, that means you're going to bring the negative to you. Negative people, negative thoughts, negative actions, negative decisions will come your way when you're walking in doubt. So you don't want to walk in doubt. What you want to do is you want to walk in faith. You want to be faithful. Okay. Another quote. Faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of this faith is to see what we believe. Now, that was said by Augustine. And here's what I love about that particular quote there. I mean, that's powerful right there. Faith, I'll read it one more time. Faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of this faith is to see what we do not believe. How many of you are actually seeing in your life, okay, the things for what you believe versus not seeing them, okay? So let me say that again. The quote says this, and right now I'm just giving out a couple of quotes about faith, because faith is going to get rid of your doubt. You want to move out of doubt. You want to get rid of doubt. Because remember, we said doubt can lead to uneasiness, a nervousness gives you that anxiety. The anxiety causes worry. Worry causes stress. Negative stress puts people in undue problems and situations that don't have to be. Uneasiness. So we were talking about building up, you got to build up your faith. So this quote says, faith is to believe what you do not see, and the reward of this faith is to see what you believe. So why not go on? And in this time that we're living in, you need probably like mountains and mountains of faith, because again, the media, television, radio, a lot of places, you hear a lot of negativity right now. And you're being inundated with this from the media, from television, papers, magazines, radio, and even people that are around us, our friends, our family, our support groups. If you are around negative people who are doubters, naysayers, don't think that you're escaping it. If these are the people that you're around, if this is what you're hearing constantly, a steady diet of doubt is not good for you. Okay? But we're talking today about overcoming doubt. How to overcome doubt. That's what we're talking about today. Remember, here on the Coach LaLisa Show, we're here to help you get the life that you want. And nobody wants a life of doubt. Doubt can hold you back from your dreams, your goals. You know, some people, oh, I doubt that I'll ever have a business. I doubt that I'll ever go back to school. I doubt that I'll ever have a good family. I doubt that my marriage will be wonderful. I doubt that I'll have friends that care for me and I care for them. I just doubt, doubt, doubt. I doubt that the economy will get better. I doubt that my condition will get better. There are a lot of people who, I heard a gentleman, a motivational speaker, a couple days ago and the other day, and he was talking about he knew where the cure for various dreadful and deadly diseases, like some levels of cancer and AIDS and all other kinds of diseases. And, you know, he knew where all these people who had these great concepts and ideas were. And, of course, I kind of knew where he was going because I've asked a similar question. Sometimes when I have speaking engagements, I'll start off with a particular question. I'll share it with you in a moment. But he said that these people were in the graveyard. And no doubt that they were full of doubt, and that's how they got to the graveyard, because they doubted themselves. They doubted that they were smart enough or good enough or intelligent enough or creative enough or artistic enough. They doubted their abilities. They had a lack of faith in who they were, and so they never launched their books, their movies, their discoveries of medical cures, and they took them straight to the grave with them. And you know, I sometimes when I do my presentations, I'll, depending on the audience and where I'm at, I'll ask the question, where is the richest place in the whole world? Where's the richest place in the whole world? And I'll ask that question, and I'll wait to see what, I'll give people a moment to ponder that, not just a moment or two. And then I'll ask, you know, I'll begin to ask people in the audience for their answers. Where is the richest place in the world? And, you know, it's interesting that some of the answers that I get back, and then people will tell me various places. So, you know, I ask you, maybe you know, if you know where the richest place in the world, if you're in the chat room, Minister Pat, you could type your answer in if you're able to. If you're on the switchboard, just hit your number one key, I can open up your phone mic, and you can tell me your answer, give me your version of the answer to that question. Where is the richest place in the entire world? So you can dial in 347-945-7991, hit the number one key, and I will take your answer. So, well, we'll come back to that question a little bit later. And I want to see what people's response to the question, where is the richest place in the whole wide world? So now I'll just continue my discussion on faith and overcoming doubt. You want to get doubt out of your life. You have absolutely no room for doubt. You don't have enough years in your life to be stuck in doubt. And remember, doubt is a status between belief and unbelief. It involves uncertainty or distrust, a lack of sureness. You know, not being sure. You know, doubt can ruin your whole day. It can ruin your life, actually. It can also lead to anxiety. And we know that we're not supposed to be anxious for anything. It can lead to apprehension, not stepping out on faith, not doing and living the life that you really would enjoy living. Now, faith, another quote for faith, someone once said that faith is the refusal to panic. And in these times, I'm telling you, people are panicking, and it's only going to get worse. So this is, you know, a timely message because it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. So we, in terms of the statistics and what we're going to hear, just the other day we heard right here in New Jersey, a woman put her three children into a van and drove off into the Hudson River. And one son got out and swam away, a 10-year-old, and he was talking about his mom and some of the things that happened that led up to that moment. But, you know, again, people are full of doubt. They doubt that the economy will get better. They doubt that things will turn around for them. They doubt that they'll be able to find work. And because they doubt, they are not taking action. And action is the thing that defeats doubt. You know, there's a quote that says, faith without works is dead. So that's like faith without action is nothing. So you need action to remove your doubt. You got to take action. So we're going to talk in a minute, as I'm going to give you some steps that you can apply to your life to get rid of doubt. Okay? We're going to give you some steps that you can apply to your life. And any time doubt comes your way, you want to get rid of it. All right, twin flame lover, good morning, good morning. And welcome to the show today. We're talking today about overcoming doubt, getting rid of doubt. And I'm going to give you some steps that you can apply. We're going to discuss each one of these so that you can see how it applies to your life. Now, remember, in the backdrop of all of this doubt and uneasiness and unsureness, this anxiousness, a feeling of apprehensionness, remember that the mind is the battlefield. You see, because the mind, that's where our thoughts and our decisions are made. That's where our will and our emotions are drawn from. It's from our mind. So if you have doubtful thoughts and these doubtful decisions that we're making, it's our mindset. It's a mindset, and that's where the battlefield is. And you know, Joyce Meyer does a powerful, powerful, powerful teaching. Some of you may want to get her book and read it. But she does a powerful teaching about overcoming the battlefield of the mind. You've got to get your mind on point. So doubt and fear, they're friends. They go together. They go together. And like I said, you know, the media, people that you may be around, may be causing just doubt But the doubt can be debilitating. It can be hindering you from moving forward. It could be the thing that is hindering you from moving forward, moving onward, and moving upward. Doubt, living in doubt. So things that you can do to overcome doubt. I want you to write these down if you can. If, of course, if you're driving, you're not able to, you can go back and listen to the archive. So the first thing that you want to do is you want to admit and make a list of all of your fears, because fears feed doubt. Your fears are feeding your doubt, and that doubt is like a cancer, and it's taking over your life. Some people are doubting that they'll find work. They're doubting that they'll meet a nice spouse. They're doubting that if they are married, that their marriages will get better. People are doubting that their children will turn around if their children are on the wrong course. People are doubting that they will, get to the next level in their lives. Just a lot of doubt. And what's at the root of some of that doubt is just plain old fear. Sometimes it's a fear of failure. A lot of people have a fear of failure. So what you want to do is you want to make a list of these fears that you have, because that's the first step in anything. And that's why we always talk a lot about writing things down, making a journal. When you write things down, now you can look at it for what it is. You know, when you see it right there on black and white, you know, it may even at that point appear silly, like, okay, why am I fearing this? But that's the first step, is to admit something before you can really deal with it. How can you really deal with it if we never admit that? You know, if we never admit that we are procrastinators and that we procrastinate, if we don't admit that we have these various fears, okay, fear of success, fear of failure. So the first thing we want to do is write it down. And then the second thing, after we write down these fears that we have, that things that sometimes we can see that, you know what, I've been fearing that for a long time, okay, maybe without any real justification for it. It may be a fear that was passed on to you through tradition, through your family. Sometimes parents, they have a fear and they just automatically pass it on to their children. Just like a good recipe, we pass on to our children. So the next thing you want to do is you want to acknowledge how this fear is affecting your life. Again, if this fear, now, obviously, you want to have fear of walking out in ongoing traffic. Okay, that fear is protecting your life. So if fear is either protecting your life or it's affecting your life in a negative way. A fear of, you know, fire in terms of if somebody, you're in a burning building, you're not going to say, well, I have no fear, so I'm going to sit here. No, okay. Don't tempt God. We know the three Hebrew boys went into a fiery furnace and they came out and they didn't smell of smoke. But okay, let's not say, okay, God, do it again. Well, no, he doesn't work that way. He can't tempt God. So if I was you, I would get out of the burning building and fast. So those kind of fears, you know, you need to have, okay? But a fear of losing all your money, you know, a fear of not finding work, or a fear of a problem in your home that won't get better, those kinds of things. No, you don't want to fear those things. But you do want to acknowledge how this fear is affecting your life, okay? And then here's another step, and we talked about this before, and we've seen before how this has affected some people. And good morning, also Mr. Paul Kiriazi, we see you there in the chat room, and we'd love to know how everything is going on over there in Japan, in Tokyo, Japan. So whenever you're ready to share with us what's happening in Tokyo, Japan, give us our on-the-ground update to Japan. Thank you for joining us here in the chat room this morning. But the next thing you want to do is you want to recognize, OK, okay. Let's hope there's not a lot of doubtful people over there in Japan right now. You want to recognize the voices in your head, and then you want to write down the negative messages that you're getting. So I want to give you a minute to write that down for those of you who need to. Yeah, you want to recognize those voices in your head and write down any negative messages coming from those voices. You know that little voice that tells you, you can't do that. You'll never be that. You'll never have that. You can't achieve that. You'll never accomplish that. Nobody like you ever started that kind of business. If you start that business, why? It won't be successful. So write down these negative messages. This is how you're going to overcome doubt. These are the steps that's going to help you overcome doubt. And the next thing you're going to start doing is you want to begin to build. And this is a very serious step here because a lot of people, even if they do some of the other steps, they forget to do this step. And this is the most important, not the most important, but a highly important step, is that you have to start to build yourself a positive support system. See, and, you know, it's like self, it's like talking about self-help, self-motivation, okay? The best motivation is self-motivation. And I know sometimes I list in Facebook, I'll say, you know, tune in to morning motivation. And, you know, and then people maybe they think, okay, someone's going to motivate you. Well, it's motivating you, okay? You motivate yourself. You motivate yourself. And you motivated yourself through the first step was to call into the show. That was your, that's how, so you're really motivating yourself. You motivated yourself by signing into the chat room, by tuning in. That's your action that you're taking to motivate yourself each and every day that you tune into the show. You have to take action to do this. You don't, you see, that's part of the key to success in life is that you take the action. And so the first thing you're going to do is you're going to admit is your fears and that you have them, make a list of them. Remember what we said, by admitting them is the first step to overcoming them. And then you're going to acknowledge how these fears are affecting your life. Then you're going to recognize these voices that are in your head and then write down these negative messages. Again, you'll never do that. You'll never have enough money. You'll never get that kind of job. You'll never start that kind of business. If you start that business, you won't get enough clients. If you get enough clients, it won't last. And all of these negative thoughts that can come into our heads. You'll never write a bestseller book. You'll never write the book. You'll never finish the book. You'll never find people to read the book. Foolishness. Foolish, foolish, foolish. If I could go from being a high school dropout, having been arrested a number of times, if I could go from that high school dropout, going to jail a number of times, all right, arrested, picked up off the street and arrested, thrown into jail, okay, if I could go from that prostitution, theft, if I could go to jail for that, and yet stand at Seton Hall University, one of the most prestigious colleges in the United States, if I could do that and stand there, a three-time college graduate, still working on a PhD. I have not given up on my PhD, though I'm not taking classes this semester. I'm not giving up on that. I have taken every class except one toward the coursework because, you know, PhD is three stages. And no one told me that when I went in. Had I known, I would be done because I did. I'm telling you, what you don't know can hurt you. Don't let anyone tell you that it can't. What you don't know can hurt you in some situations, because I had no idea there was three parts to the PhD. But that's a whole other radio show. I'll have to do that later for a group of people who are pursuing their PhDs, because you need to know that. And you need to be prepared to go through all three stages. And so there's coursework, and then there's your comprehensive finals, and then there's your dissertation. Unlike regular college, it's just coursework. Undergraduate, I should say, not regular. PhD is regular college, but undergraduate is very simple. You do the coursework, you get a grade, you take a test, and you're done. You graduate. In some master's degree programs, you do have to do comps, or you have to write a paper, but it's still coursework and then that. Whereas with the PhD, there's coursework, and then there's these comprehensive finals, and then there's dissertation. Now, some colleges may not make you do the comprehensive final piece, but the majority of them do. Because if they didn't, you know, they would be more competitive that way. So to make it more even, they all pretty much are similar, at least in the United States. So, you know, get rid of the negative voices. Get rid of the voices in your head. And if I could go from that to this, believe me, you, how in the world could you say you can't do this, this, or that? There's absolutely no way. You can write a movie. You can make a movie. If Tyler Perry could do it, here's a man who was homeless, living in a car. If he could do it, so can you. Rock, who was on the sitcom TV show for a long time, Charles Dutton. Well, I can never remember which one. But you know who I'm talking about. He played Rock. He played the garbage man. Here's a guy who was in prison for years, got out of prison, right? And look, he's very successful. He's shooting a new movie as we speak in Philadelphia. Okay? Don't say what you can't do. That's doubt. That's doubt telling you you can't do something. You can't start that speaking career. If I could start a speaking career and be successful at it, I know you can. I know you can. And I came by my speaking career accidental. It was an accident. It was nothing I was pursuing. If I was pursuing, if I had thought that I could, that there was a such thing as a speaking career, I'd be doing something, I'd be so much further ahead by now. I came into it by accident. And then that just goes to show you your purpose, your talents, your gifts. That just proves a point that I've been talking about on the Coach Lalisa show for the past 3 years. That right there, this moment, this is a defining moment right now for me anyway. And it should be defining for you as well. I've been preaching and teaching for the longest that your talents, your gifts, your purpose will be discovered even if you don't know what they are. Even when you don't know what they are, if you're taking action. I've been preaching that for the longest, and I'm just now, you know, realizing that, okay, wow, it was right there in front of your face. I never sought a speaking career. I have like 10 speaking engagements lined up over the next month. I wasn't seeking and have had many over the past several years. I wasn't seeking a speaking career. Didn't even know what it was. Didn't know it existed. I took action when I left that situation and made one step. I'm telling you, you make a step, you take an action, and you're going to run right smack dab into your purpose, into your gifts, your talents, your abilities. To take inaction, to do nothing, well, I guess that's why they say nothing from nothing leaves nothing. And so for the people who are doing nothing, but yet they think they're doing something because they're waiting, they say, I'm waiting to see what I'm good at. I'm waiting to see where my talents are. I'm waiting. Before I do anything, I'm waiting to see. Well, I got news for you. Here's a news flash. Fresh off the press. You're going to be waiting for a long time. Keep waiting. You'll be waiting for a long time. However, if you go on and take some kind of action, any action, you will find that you will reach your goal, as I did. I didn't have a mindset to be a speaker, but when I took action to go back to school, take a class, no goal of working toward a PhD, just go take a class, what happened in that class? Almost literally the very first class, what happens? Someone tells me, oh, you're a speaker. You're a good speaker. I'm like, huh? So much so that they pushed me to be a speaker, not just casually, oh, you're good at that. Okay. No, no. They set me up with opportunities to do it on a major level, on a major level. I remember the first time I spoke at a Phi Theta Kappa event in Ocean City, Maryland, at some hotel. I don't remember the name of the hotel right now. But there were about 300 students and faculty advisors there and friends and some family. Some people brought their family, their spouses. This was all college students in the Phi Theta Kappa program. And they were there because it was the annual event where you elect your presidents and your vice presidents and other officers for the year, for the entire year. And it was for the region. So this was the regional convention. And every year it was held in either Maryland, New Jersey, Philadelphia, or Delaware, because those were the four states in the region. And one of the professors from Union County College, she was our faculty advisor, Professor Rohope Moen, had convinced me to, I was a member of Phi Theta Kappa, which is an international honor society. Again, high school dropout, flunked out of high school, ended up in the Miami jail system. 34, I'm in Union County College, and I'm in Phi Theta Kappa, an honor society. Go figure. So here we are. I'm 30-something years old, should just be caught up in working and, you know, trying to make it in New Jersey. But I end up taking that step, taking that action. I end up, and my gifts and my talents found me. I'm in Phi Theta Kappa, and the woman who was the regional president, she was from Germany, she convinced me to run for office, for the presidency, for the region of Phi Theta Kappa. And initially, doubt was there. You can't do this. You're just this little black girl from the ghettos of Cincinnati, Ohio, been to jail, was a prostitute on the streets. How dare, this is what the negative voices were saying. Remember, that was the third thing I mentioned, recognizing those voices. These were the negative messages. You better not dare do this. Who are you? High school dropout, you flunked out of school, you were a prostitute, you were locked up, you were in jail. You running for regional president for Phi Theta, are you crazy? That is what I had to overcome. So what I'm telling you here is not something I read in a book. Though these steps, yes, I got them off of the internet, but there is not something, overcoming fear and overcoming doubt isn't something that I got out of a book. It's something I got out of my life. So I had to overcome those negative thoughts to run, and I ran. I ran is how I got before that crowd of 300 plus people to speak. But that every person who ran for office had to give a speech. So I was competing with, there was about three or four of us running for president. Maybe about six, but then they, you know, whittled down to like two or three. Actually, there was two of us that was a major decision they had to make. People had to vote between me and this person. Now, so here I am, no high school, real high school background, none of that stuff, no real college background. Anyway, so, well, everybody there is in the two-year college. So here we are, I'm giving this speech, and the speech was only like 4 minutes, thank God. only a 4-minute speech. I gave this speech that I had written. Boy, I wish I had a copy of that speech today. I have no idea what the speech was. I know it has something to do with technology, because you figure this was back in 1993, 92, you know, right as the Internet, the World Wide Web was just coming about. So a lot of things we did in those days in college had to do with the Internet and talking about the World Wide Web and technology and how it was going to change our lives or how we were going to benefit from it. I remember that much. But I don't, and something about taking advantage of it. But I don't remember much else. But I remember the day like it was yesterday. So I'm saying that to say that you got to build a support team around you, supportive people, friends, family, movies, okay? Now, I'm talking about giving you steps to overcoming fear. And remember, the battlefield is the mind. So let me switch back over here for a second to our chat room, because I had asked Mr. Paul Kiriazzi, who is over in Japan, what's going on over there. He says that there's some contaminated water in the atomic plant, and the atomic plant is now being safely removed. When radioactivity levels decline, the workers can begin to repair the cooling systems for the reactors. It will take about 20 days, but a big positive step toward final fixing. Wonderful, wonderful. So that's the beauty and benefit of having Mr. Paul Kiriazzi here with us online, because he can share this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful information with us. So earlier I asked a question, where is the richest place in the entire world? And I want you to type it in, or if you can't type it in, if you could raise your hand and hit your number one key, that'll raise your hand and let me know. But I'm talking about overcoming that negative voice. I'm talking about overcoming doubt. We stated at the beginning of the show that doubt is the state of unbelief, uncertainty, uneasiness, worry, unsureness. You know, it's anxiety about facts and decisions that you have to make and you have to deal with. It can cripple you, you know, like paralyze you from going forward, going upward. I'm telling you how doubt can stop you. I just gave you a little snippet of how doubt tried to come in to my mind, because the battlefield is the mind, because this is where our emotions and our will, our thoughts and our decisions are made. For you to make a decision to start that business, it comes from your mind. For you to make a decision to write that book, to write that play, to do whatever, to move, whatever it takes, is in your mind. So the enemy knows this. The enemy of your life knows this. And so that's why these negative thoughts will come. That's why I had asked you earlier, gave you this list of things to do to overcome doubt, get rid of it. It's ruining your life. And we're going to talk about it again. I mean, this won't be the only show where we will talk about doubt. No doubt, look, no doubt we'll have to talk about doubt again, because it doesn't go away forever. It will come back. But when it comes back, you can put these things in action, okay? So build the support. And that's what I was saying. Some people are not good at building the support of positive people, positive movie, a positive lifestyle. And then the next thing is, you want to change your negative messages, those negative voices, those negative messages, like the ones that I heard telling me that, who are you to be a Phi Theta Kappa? You're not smart enough. Who are you to think that you could stand before the people and that they would vote for you? You see, doubt set in. But I turned it around with positive messages. Why not me? Why shouldn't I run? Well, and I ran, and guess what? They elected me. I was the biggest one shocked. Listen, I felt initially so out of my element to be where I was, Ocean City, Maryland, 30-something years old, left jail, been arrested, stole things, been arrested, have all these challenges in my background. And now you're going to stand before these people and tell them you think you should be the regional president of an honor society, Phi Theta Kappa, very well known amongst Honor Society students and two-year colleges around the world, not just in the United States. We have chapters all over the world. Who are you to do this? You see, thus the negative voice. But I turned it around with the positive voices, and you must find positive affirmations that say, it's not about how far you go, it's how far you come. And when I looked at how far I've come in life, not about how far I've gone, but where did I come from? When I looked at where I had come from, it was like a mountain, you see. Some people only look at how far they go, but some people start with a lot. So if you end up with a lot, but you started with a lot, how far did you really come? But it's when you started with nothing and you gained something, now you can see how success really shows up in your life. So the next thing is that you want to be aware of your past and be willing to let it go. So, yes, I'm aware of the fact that I was arrested. I'm aware of the fact that I was locked up. I'm aware of that. And, yes, I can share it. I am so not afraid. And I don't, you know what, quite frankly, I don't really care who likes it and who doesn't like it. If you don't like it, too bad. I'm not sharing your past. I've learned the hard way. Don't do that because other people aren't willing. That's fine. They don't have to. It's not their lot in life. Everyone has their own lot in life. This is not your lot. It's my lot. So I won't get mad. Here, let's make a deal. All right, let's make a deal right here and now. I won't get mad if you don't share, and don't you get mad if I do. Because I will be sharing. I said to the woman at Seton Hall, she says she wants me to come speak to these kids, and there will be adults there, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, you know, do you have a specific topic? What do you want me to talk about to these 14, 18? She texts me back, just do you. How are you going to be invited to a college like Seton Hall, this preppy kind of, you know, Ivy League type prestigious college known around the country? How are you going to go there and have experience as a prostitute and all these other things, being arrested, whatever? And then the person who invites you to speak says, oh, just do you. Now, she's heard me speak. She's heard my story. She knows my background. They've seen my bio. You see, not, well, tell us about college and tell the students how they can just go to college and be good students. No, she wants the real deal, Holyfield, okay? And I'm saying that to say you don't have to pretend to be something that you're not. People will respect, love, and even want you when you just are you, okay? So you're going to be aware of your past and willing to let it go. You're going to read books that help you feel better. There you go. That's a good one. We're talking about overcoming doubt here. You're going to make a list of all your goals. Now, here's the key. I don't want to miss this. I know we have 1 minute left to the show. You got to make a list of your goals. Make a list of your goals. Make a list of your goals. Hello? Is anybody listening? Make a list of your goals. And then make a list of the actions that are going to allow you to achieve the goals. A lot of people got a list of goals, but they do not have a list of actions to achieve the goals. And here's the real kicker and the last thing that I want to mention. And then take one action every day. One action. You got a list of your goals. You got a list of the actions to achieve the goal. And now take one of those actions day by day. Don't try to go over the whole goal. Don't try to go for the whole goal. That's foolish. Just take one action a day. Just one a day. Like a pill. Okay? Like a pill. It's a prescription for success. Take one action a day. But those actions are not just, you know, here and there and everywhere. The actions are attached to the goal. So we'll talk more about that the next time we meet. Tomorrow is Wednesday. We're going to welcome Mr. Versi Walker. He'll be here tomorrow on the Coach Lisa Show. I thank you. I love you. I'm glad you could be with us today. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook if you desire to come to any of the events where I will be speaking. Please contact me. I am coming to Cincinnati. For those of you in the Cincinnati area, please tell all your friends that Coach Lalisa is coming to Cincinnati. We're putting something together right now for a women's empowerment session there. Can't wait. Love it. Thanks to all of you in the chat room this morning. God bless you. Have a great, 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 and wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. Oh, Paul, congratulations. He's finished recording his audio book. Wow, wow, wow. A body fat percent down. Okay, okay. Awesome, Paul. Well, tell us all about it on Thursday. Can't wait to hear it. This is Big Coach Lalisa, and you got to keep moving on up.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.